Welcome to Twat Radio. This is Jesse, aka Silver, and I will be your host today. If you have any questions regarding this episode of Twat Radio, please feel free to contact me at silverballs@gmail.com. Again, that is silverballz, as in zebra, @gmail.com. Today we will talk about what exactly a honeypot is. This is part one of a two-part series. Part 2 will explain how to build the infrastructure of a honeypot. A honeypot is a dummy target machine set up to observe unauthorized use of information systems. A HoneyNet is a network built around such dummy machines in order to lure and track hackers as they step through the attack process. By studying real-world attacks, researchers hope to predict emerging trends in order to develop defenses in advance. Lance Spitzner, the founder of one such tracking endeavor known as the HoneyNet Project, defines a honeypot as a security resource whose value lies in being probed, attacked, and compromised. The goal of such a masochistic system is to be comprised and abused. Hopefully, each time a honeypot goes up in smoke, the researcher learns a new technique. For example, you can use a honeypot to find new rootkits, exploits, or backdoors before they become mainstream. Running a HoneyNet infrastructure is similar to running a spy network deep behind enemy lines. You have to build defenses and also be able to hide and dodge attacks that you cannot defend against, all the while keeping a low profile on the network. It is important to be able to study the computer underground from a distance. Instead of going to them, they come to you. Additionally, honeypot stories can be edifying. For example, a researcher relates this tale. One intruder broke into a honeypot and deployed his toolkit packaged as his hacker nickname .tar.gz. He then used FTP to access his site using the login name his hacker nickname. His IRC client that he also deployed had the same name embedded that confirmed that he is indeed known under such alias. It appears that he didn't care at all about the victims tracing him back because when they resolved his IP address, it came up as his hacker nickname.ro. Now that's being covert. Another compromised honeypot showed that an attacker's first action was to change the root password on the system. It does not help to avoid being noticed if an administrator tries to log in and fails. Not a single attacker bothered to check for the presence of Tripwire, an integrity checking system, which is included by default in Red Hat Linux and was used in the honeypot. On the next Tripwire run, all the hidden files were easily discovered. Yet another attacker created a directory for himself as his hacker nickname in the disk root directory. Apparently, he thought that no system administrator would be surprised to see a new directory right smack in the root of the disk. The Honeypot Project differentiates between research and production honeypots. The former are focused on gaining intelligence information about attackers and their technologies and methods, while the latter are aimed at decreasing the risk to a company's IT resources and providing advanced warning of incoming attacks on the network infrastructure, and also presumably diverting attacks away from the production systems into the closely monitored environment of the honeypot. Collectively, the honeypots used by the project are called HoneyNets. Lance Spitzner describes them as networks of production systems connected to the internet, sometimes without even a firewall. The systems are standard production systems with real applications commonly used by companies on the internet. Nothing is faked or artificial. No new vulnerabilities are created for easier hacking. In fact, it is entirely possible to clone a production system and deploy it into the HoneyNet, provided confidential information is removed or replaced by similar information with no real value. It's possible to run a honeypot or a HoneyNet at home or in a small business. In fact, you can deploy simple software such as Linux's Honeyed by Niels Provos, which imitates the response of many known services. In this case, you might be able to collect data from attacks by automated worms in the initial steps of an attack launched by a human intruder. However, the illusion is limited, and none of the desired high-value after-penetration data can be acquired. It might be fun to watch the honeypot for a while, or it might serve to collect enough data for a high school project in computer security, but it is not useful for much else. To really get in touch with the dark side, one needs a HoneyNet, a real machine connected to a network which can be probed, attacked, owned, and abused. It is relatively easy to build a HoneyNet at home. You need a few computers, an internet connection, and some knowledge of security. You will soon be the proud owner of your own deceptive network, ready to admit hackers from all over the world. it is important to have a well-defined reason for deploying a honey net. That concludes this episode of TWAT Radio. I'd like to send a shout-out to Gaz, a.k.a. Tulpex, Robert Moore from MooreSoftware.com, and all the contributors from Infonomicon.
I know you're out there. I can feel you now. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. I'm going to show them a world without you. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Several references were borrowed from the book Security Warrior, written by Anton Chevakin and Cyrus Pekarai. I apologize if I mispronounce any names in this podcast. Peace!